We have in the past couple of lessons from 1 Peter discussed the Lord Jesus Christ as the living stone. And we have seen that He is choice and precious in the sight of Almighty God. We have discussed Him as a choice and precious cornerstone. And we have seen that when Christ came into the world, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, which is recorded in verse 6 in 1 Peter 2. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in Him shall not be disappointed. Today we continue our study of the Lord Jesus Christ as a precious stone in Zion. We see a contrast in our text this morning between those who believe in Him and those who disbelieve. To those who believe in Christ, great comfort and consolation is given. Verse 7, this precious value then is for you who believe. To those who disbelieve, however, a warning is given. The second part of verse 7, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumbled because they are disobedient to the word. For those who believe, Christ is a precious stone. For those who disbelieve, Christ becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. First of all, in our text this morning, we see that those who believe in Christ have great comfort. Again, this precious value is for you who believe. The precious value of the Lord Jesus Christ may be described in several ways, it seems to me. There is reference to verses 4 and 6 in our text, where the very same word, precious, is used. It says, in coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. And then again in verse 6 it says, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. When we discussed these verses, we saw that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ is precious because He is the only Savior of men. Peter says in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. The Lord Jesus is the only Savior. And the precious value of Christ is then His value. His value as a Savior from sin and from the effects of sin and from the terrible penalty of sin. Then I think when we think of the preciousness of Christ, there is reference also to the second part of verse 6. He who believes in Him shall not be disappointed. This is a wonderful promise. The precious value of Christ is that value to save from disappointment. And this means being spared final humiliation in the day of judgment. The precious value of Christ ransoms men from eternal death and condemnation. The precious value of Christ procures the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then the precious value of Christ also is comprehended in His being a cornerstone. As a cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only sure foundation for our individual lives, both in the church and in our families. As the cornerstone of a building establishes the directions of the walls within a building, so the Lord Jesus Christ provides for us the only infallible rule to direct our lives. The cornerstone of a building also provides the standard from which all measurements are made. And we have seen that the Lord Jesus Christ is our only perfect standard. the only standard by which our lives can properly be measured. The precious value of Christ in this life is very great. It cannot even be estimated by human standards. And what does Peter say in our text? Verse 7, this precious value then is for you who believe. The value of Christ as the Savior from sin is yours, you who believe. The value of Christ as a ransom from eternal humiliation is for you who believe. The value of Christ as a foundation for life, as a guide for life, as a standard for present day living, is for you who believe. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? This precious value is for you. Salvation from sin is yours. Salvation from the dreadful punishment of sin is yours. Isn't that wonderful? Salvation from humiliation in the day of judgment is yours. Stability and proper guidance for life is yours. The surpassing value of Christ is yours. All the guidance and direction Christ gives through the Scriptures is yours. This is the great comfort. This is the great consolation. This is the great encouragement that is yours, you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then our text goes on, doesn't it? Those who disbelieve are issued a warning. Look at verse 7 again. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. The disbelief that Peter mentions in verse 7 is the opposite of faith. It is the negation of faith. Those who disbelieve, and I think this is very important for us to understand, those who disbelieve do not simply lack faith. There is more involved. Those who disbelieve actually do disbelieve, distrust, oppose Christ. The King James Version translates it here, they are disobedient to Christ. You see, there is no neutral ground to occupy here. In fact, Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me. Disbelief puts us against Christ and against His Word. And this is why Peter draws the contrast, the sharp contrast between you who believe and those who disbelieve. You are either firmly in Christ by faith or you are against Him. If you believe, you have great comfort and encouragement. But if you disbelieve, you are warned. And notice now how those who disbelieve are described in relationship to Christ. Let's look at verse 7 again. For those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. For those who disbelieve, the words of Psalm 118:22 are appropriate. And that's what Peter quotes right here. Then further on, in verse 8, for those who disbelieve, the words of Isaiah 8 are appropriate. For those who disbelieve, Christ becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. We see then that those who disbelieve reject Christ, stumble over Him, and are offended by Him. Let's look a little closer at what the Scriptures have to say here. Peter, in quoting the Psalm, Psalm 118:22, tells us that those who disbelieve reject Christ. The stone which the builders rejected, he says. The King James Version says, "The stone which the builders disallowed has become the very head of the corner." In other words, Christ is set aside by men. Christ is shunned by men. Christ is pushed away by men. And Peter uses the very same word in the fourth verse, "and coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but precious and choice in the sight of God." It's interesting also that Peter quotes this very same psalm in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Peter is here standing before the Jewish leaders of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court. And he is defending himself before that court after the healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful. And listen to what it says in Acts chapter 4. It says, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health. He is the one which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. In truth, the leaders of Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected him as a blasphemer, and they had him crucified." And the psalm that Peter quotes, Psalm 118:22, is fulfilled when the Jewish leaders reject the Lord Jesus Christ cruelly. But now Peter uses that very same psalm, and he says that this psalm applies to everyone who disbelieves. Look at verse 7 again. "But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone." In other words, those who disbelieve, are guilty of the same kind of cruel rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Jewish leaders were long ago. Seems to me here is a real warning for those who do disbelieve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the rejection of those who disbelieve is thrown into sharp relief by God's acceptance of Christ. In verse 7 again, listen to it. "The stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone." Imagine, that which is rejected by men, God has made to be the very foundation of life. Men reject Christ on the basis of his ministry and on the basis of his word. And Jesus came into the world saying this, "Repent and believe in the gospel." But you know, the message of repentance is not very popular. In fact, it is unpopular and it is rejected. Men and women and children do not like to talk about their sin and their need of repentance. And so, those who disbelieve Christ reject this message and they reject him. But the amazing thing is this. To the shame of those who disbelieve Christ, God has made him the only sure foundation for life. To the shame of those who disbelieve in Christ, God has made him the very cornerstone of life itself. Surely this is also a warning to those who may disbelieve. And then for those who disbelieve, the words of Isaiah 8:14 are appropriate. These come in verse 8. Christ is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who disbelieve. Paul quotes this same passage from Isaiah when he talks about the ancient Israelites. And he says, "Ancient Israel attempted to achieve righteousness by keeping the whole law." They attempted to achieve right standing before God by keeping the law perfectly. And Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, that this principle is the principle of salvation by works. To reject salvation by faith, on the one hand, and to embrace salvation by works, on the other hand. That's what stumbling over the stumbling stone means. And I think it's unfortunate that today many men and women are just like ancient Israel. Many people are trusting in their own goodness and in their own righteousness. And you hear many men and women saying, "Oh, I'm basically good. I keep the Ten Commandments. I'm really not so bad." But really what this is a rejection on the one hand of salvation by faith, and an embracing on the other hand of salvation by works. And this is to stumble over Christ. And Jesus said, "Everyone who falls on that stone will surely perish." In other words, those who stumble over the Lord Jesus Christ by depending upon salvation by works will perish. It seems to me that this is another facet of the warning that is given to those who disbelieve. Then finally, we see that those who disbelieve find Christ offensive. To those who disbelieve, Christ causes revulsion. He arouses anger, and he arouses opposition. He becomes, for those who disbelieve, a rock of offense. What could arouse the anger of men faster than offending their dignity by calling them sinners? And this is exactly what Jesus does. What could be more offensive than telling sophisticated businessmen and hard-working housewives that they are ungodly? But this is exactly what the Lord Jesus does. And the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Paul says in Romans, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But this message offends men and women. It offends those who disbelieve. And rather than embracing Christ to the salvation of their souls, those who disbelieve shun Christ to their own hurt. And it seems to me that this also is a warning for those who really do disbelieve. And after describing those who disbelieve, Peter goes on in verse 8 to tell us why they stumble. Verse 8, "For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word." This is why men and women stumble. The word that Peter is talking about is the word of God. And strictly speaking, the word of God is the scriptures, the Bible. And in the Bible, God speaks to us. In the pages of the Bible, God speaks to us. In the Bible, Christ is presented to us. In the Bible, the exceeding sinfulness of our sin is pointed out to us. In the Bible, we read the command, "Repent. Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit." In the Bible, we are told if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the Bible, we are plainly told, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In the Bible, Christ freely offers Himself to us, saying, "Come unto Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." In the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ promises, "He who comes to Me, I will certainly not cast out." But those, you see, who disbelieve stumble because they are disobedient to this very word. They rebel at their sin being made manifest. They disobey the command of God to repent. They reject Christ's offer of Himself and the gift of everlasting life. And because they are disobedient to the word, Christ becomes to them a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You see, this is the description of those who disbelieve. And it is quite a contrast that Peter draws between those who disbelieve on one hand and those who believe on the other hand. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then the precious value of Christ is for you who believe. Heaven itself awaits you. But when we think of a family like the Robertsons who have lost a loved one, and the hope of heaven that they have, it is a great and glorious comfort. Heaven itself awaits you who believe. As Peter says in the fourth verse of the first chapter, an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away is reserved in heaven for you. What glory! Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then, dear friends, be comforted. Be encouraged. Do you disbelieve? Then be warned. For if you disbelieve, dear friend, you are guilty of a cruel rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you disbelieve, there will be shame in the day of judgment. If you stumble over Christ, you will perish. If you are offended by Christ, you oppose Him to your own hurt. Do you disbelieve? Then there is the course of repentance and faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not continue to be disobedient. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are only two ways that Peter points out to us here in our text this morning. Do you believe? Then be comforted. Be encouraged. And realize the great consolation which is yours in your faith. Do you disbelieve? Then, dear friend, be warned. And come to Christ. Let's pray together. Father, the two ways are clear before us. The way of comfort, the way of joy, the way of consolation. And the second way, Father, is also clear. The way of warning and of final humiliation. Father, we thank You that we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ may indeed be comforted in this moment, truly be comforted. But I pray also, Father, for those who disbelieve, that they will heed the warning and come to Christ. Bless us with this message from Your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.